This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
I'm Wong Xiaoning and this is The Breakfast Grill. Most Malaysians are eagerly waiting for the COVID-19 vaccination so that their lives can return to normal. And whilst we have heard of all the different vaccines, little attention is paid to one company that will be involved in the distribution of it. So today on The Breakfast Grill, we speak to Louis-Georges Lazenary, CEO of Zulik Pharma for Malaysia and Brunei. Now, thanks for being on the show, LG. And I think we have to start with the one thing that has dominated all our lives for the past 1 year, and that is COVID-19. Clearly more optimism now, but I want to know, how is Zulik involved in the vaccination drive in this country, especially since your company is purportedly the largest vaccine and cold chain distributor in Asia outside of Japan and China?
I will start by precising that we are not a pharmaceutical company per se. We are a distributor servicing pharmaceutical companies. Pharmaceutical companies from all over the world who are willing to make their drugs and vaccines, medical device, diagnostics, whatsoever, available in Malaysia and in Southeast Asia. So when it comes to COVID vaccines and COVID vaccination, I would say we are doing the same as we have always been doing for almost a century. We have been established in Malaysia since 1939. In Southeast Asia since 1922. And we are helping every manufacturer of COVID vaccine who is willing to bring their vaccine to Malaysia. We can help them to register them, import them, warehouse them, distribute them to public hospitals or private clinics whatsoever, depending the regulation and strategy which has been set up by the Malaysian government.
So can I understand whether this current drive, right, the government has already started phase one of vaccination, are you involved in that at all?
This is like in every country and always when it comes to healthcare, which is top on the strategy of every government, even more when it comes to vaccine and even more when it comes to COVID vaccination, this is very strongly driven by government. So we follow the strategy that the government, everybody is following the strategy that the government in Malaysia has been setting. Now, this being said, we all know and we all read the press, the government is little by little opening for private channels to go into vaccination. So this is opening doors for other ways of bringing vaccines to Malaysia. But I would say in that respect, this is the same almost as every pharmaceutical and vaccine. This is always a mix of starting by public strategy, public plans, and then cooperating with private stakeholders in order to scale up and speed up.
So at this juncture, you're not involved in the vaccination rollout that the government is currently having?
We have discussions with every stakeholder because basically we are a service provider when it comes to warehousing, distributions, or even information on drugs and vaccines. So we are in discussion with multiple stakeholders, including the government, obviously, because we have service to provide. They have needs. So there are discussions around this, yes.
But LG, do you think the way forward is actually more private-public partnerships? After all, when you think about it, like you say, Zulik, you already have the infrastructure in terms of rolling out vaccines, both in terms of the hardware, so all the logistics management is there, and also the software, all the requirements in terms of tracking the vaccines.
Again, I would say COVID vaccination, it's a bit the same as everything when it comes to healthcare. And I strongly believe as a private stakeholder that private stakeholders, private companies have solutions and services to bring benefits to public stakeholders who have in mind the benefit of all patients in Malaysia. So we have solutions to coming from our own research or from the research of our partners, our clients. We have solutions and services to offer. Yes, definitely.
And you mentioned earlier that you're willing to partner with any of the vaccines which have been approved, right? So may I know which ones you might be eventually distributing? Will it be like the Sinovac, the Sinopharm, Sputnik one, or the AstraZeneca? Because I do know that in Malaysia, you're the sole distributor of Pfizer products. So can I assume that you'll be distributing Pfizer-BioNTech vaccines sooner or later?
By definition, I would say, everybody would understand that everything which is not public yet, I cannot disclose, by respect for our clients and the Malaysian government. So everything which is ongoing discussions, I cannot disclose. The thing which are public, Pfizer, the way Pfizer has been brought to the country and distributed so far is known by everyone. Same for Sinovac. This is just, the only thing I can say is we are just at the beginning. Vaccination, like in every country, may take a year or 6 months to a year. And we are just at the beginning. So as we move further, the number of solutions and stakeholders will increase, public and private.
But in the meantime, Zulich has signed, understand, a few MOUs, Memorandum of Understandings, with private companies to distribute vaccines. So like with Kanga, which has plans to distribute the Sinopharm vaccine, and also BioAlpha with Sinovac vaccine. Can you shed some light on how the private sector or yourself is involved in this vaccine distribution?
Very good question. And these MOUs were made public because these companies are listed on stock market. So there is an obligation of information. The reason behind is quite obvious. A lot of, again, public and private stakeholders have been trying to bring vaccines from all over the world, from Western Europe, US, China, India. Everybody has been trying to bring this vaccine available for Malaysian patients in Malaysia. And the Malaysian government first was doing that as the key stakeholder. Then once it comes to importing, warehousing, distributing these vaccines, some of them having very difficult temperature requirement, like minus 70 degrees, minus 20, or even 228 in a country where the temperature is around 30 degrees. This requires a certain level of expertise. Also to maintain quality, to maintain security of highly sensitive pharmaceutical vaccines. So to that point, Zulich, we are not the only one, but Zulich is definitely one of the key stakeholders, having the capability to manipulate this vaccine safely, securely, and effectively. These companies have been discussing with us to see if we could help them to assure that in Malaysia.
When you look at the companies that are getting involved, so Kanga is a bamboo floor manufacturer, while BioAlpha is involved in health supplements. So at the end of the day, is Zulich really actually going to be the one doing the heavy lifting when it comes to the vaccine rollout? Because you have the capabilities, while these guys are almost in... Their core business is not in pharmaceutical distribution.
I would say, without referring directly to these two companies, this is by essence the business model of Zulich Pharma in Malaysia and all over Southeast Asia. We are bringing capabilities and scale to do warehousing and distribution of a very particular product, which are pharmaceutical and vaccines, that very few people can do. So then we are working with companies who can bring product to Malaysia, either from their own research or from their own trading. And we are assuming behind all the logistics. This is a model which is, I would say, applying almost to every pharmaceutical companies coming to Malaysia. So these two companies you are mentioning are, I would say, no different. They are different by essence of pharmaceutical companies, but the business model we would have maybe with them would be quite similar. So in fact, this is not really surprising.
And do you know whether this private companies getting involved in vaccines will be run concurrently with the existing vaccination program that the government is already rolling out? I mean, we are moving on to phase two and eventually phase three, and the government hopes that we can achieve herd immunity by even year end. So when do you think Zulich will actually get involved then and actually roll out these vaccines?
Okay, very good question. Again, as I said at the beginning, the government is responsible for healthcare strategy and execution in Malaysia for the benefit of Malaysian patients. So this is the responsibility of the government to fix the strategy, the plan, and the regulation. As per this plan, every stakeholder, public or private, when it's open, will respect this strategy, this plan, this regulation, and contribute to speeding up and scaling up vaccination. And this kind of public-private partnership again, is always has been used to all over Southeast Asia since many years. The population in Southeast Asia, like in Malaysia, has been growing up very fast. It's also at the same time aging very fast. Quality of life and expectations for good healthcare has been also increasing very fast over the last 50 years to reach the similar level as what people would expect in Western Europe, for instance, or Japan. So in that very exponential growth of healthcare expectations, the private is capable to help public in order to meet expectations of Malaysian patients. This would be a too big task just for one stakeholder. And again, just quoting Malaysia, public and private, Malaysian government, MOH, and pharmaceutical companies, private, either coming from overseas or Malaysian, have been used to cooperate together since a long, long time. So COVID vaccination is no different. The only difference is expectations are extremely high, timeline is very short, so everybody needs to cooperate quickly, strongly, and very effectively. But this is happening.
Okay, in the meantime, your CEO, John Graham, was quoted in the Singapore Press as saying that there is a good chance to vaccinate everyone in Asia. The question is time. Now, what do you think the issues will be here in Malaysia?
I don't think there will be specific issues in Malaysia compared to other countries. I would say with all respect, I have a lot for Malaysia. Malaysia is a country like any other country. And when you look all over the world, strategies are more or less the same. Huh? Some countries manage to access earlier to vaccine because they have their own research companies and manufacturing companies. So it's normal they access to it first. But apart from that, vaccines are spread all over the world quite equally. And the COVAX system of WHO manage also to assure access to vaccine for the poorest country. So Malaysia is on to that, like every country. There will be no specific challenges. I think the challenges everybody will face could be, it's a huge plan to access to everyone and to offer to everyone, even in remote area, access to vaccine. So it's take time and organization. But on that aspect, again, there are plenty of stakeholders, public and private, in every country and in Malaysia looking into that. So I believe the public-private partnership will function like always, and it will function again to organize all this. Another challenge could be to convince most of people that being vaccinated is an individual decision for the benefit of the whole community. And by benefit to all community, to also economy, which then will hit back every individual. So I think everybody should advertise that. Everybody who is convinced of this should try to convince others. Now there will always be people for different reasons who will not be willing to be vaccinated. I don't think, I'm not an expert, but we don't need to reach 100% in order to cut the pandemic. I'm optimistic by nature. I'm sure we are going to reach our goal all over the globe.
Yeah, I certainly hope so. On The Breakfast Grill this morning, we are speaking to Louis Georges Lesenery, the CEO of Zulich Pharma for Malaysia and Brunei. When we come back, is keeping the temperature super cold the key to growing market share for Zulich? BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Breakfast Grill. In the hot seat this morning is Louis Georges Lesenery, CEO of Zulich Pharma for Malaysia and Brunei. Just a moment ago, we were talking about the COVID-19 vaccination rollout and our public-private partnerships, the longer-term solution to flattening the pandemic curve. Now, like you say, Zulich is a distributor and a wholesaler and has benefited actually as manufacturers opt to focus on exactly that, making the drugs and then leaving the complicated and often challenging part of distribution and logistics management to a third party. But there is another competitor in Malaysia and even in the region, and that is, of course, DKSH, which also operate on a very similar model. Now, do you have the largest market share or do they have?
This is, I was expecting this question, thank you. this is always, I mean, first of all, I would mention that it's good to have a competitor. This is keeping you alive and improving permanently. And monopoly is not good, and monopoly anyway would be forbidden most of the time. This being mentioned, it's difficult to compare market share because it varies from country to another. It varies also by segment. Our companies are acting on various segments from pure pharmaceutical and vaccines to medical device, diagnostic, animal health, consumer healthcare, even sometimes pure consumer goods. I would say on pure pharmaceutical, coming to Malaysia, I would say Zulich Pharma has a very strong market share. We are distributing, I would say, more or less half of the pharmaceutical market in Malaysia. Everything taken into account, local and foreign companies, from branded product to generic products. When it comes to branded product from MNCs, multinational companies, pharmaceutical companies, our market share would go up to more than 70-75%. But again, this is a very partial vision of this repartition of the market. When it comes to vaccine, as you know already and you introduced, we are in Malaysia and all over Southeast Asia. We have built over the years a very strong capabilities and leadership in cold chain management, and so in warehousing and distribution of vaccines for human health and animal health.
Now, LG, I refer to a 2017 report by the Malaysian Competition Commission. Now, they revealed some numbers, and yes, it's a bit outdated, but that's what I can find. And it reported that, you know, net profit margins for distribution appear very wafer thin. I mean, for DKSH, they make 0.5%, while Zulik yourself make about 0.3%. I'm just curious, why are margins so wafer thin, and can it really be improved? Because then does it mean it's just down to volume?
Alors, this is the essence of warehousing and distribution, logistics. It's all about volume and driving synergies from volume. So the bigger the volume, the more investment we can put in capacity and technology in order to improve and give benefits of good distribution to our clients and when it comes to pharmaceuticals down to the patient. So yes, it's a story about volume and capacity to invest in capacity and technology innovation. So then the profitability you are mentioning, this is what we are used to in logistics.
But do you expect it to rise? I mean, because when I look at some of the materials that I find on your website, definitely Zulik seems to be focusing on cold distribution, blockchain technology, more digital solutions. Does that actually, is that going to help you in terms of driving and improving margins? Or is this pretty much the structure of the industry?
Hello, you are mentioning some good things here. As I said, one of our key in our business model is to be capable to drive volumes, synergies, so we can invest not only in capacity, but also in technology. And investing in technology, we can offer new solutions and services and drive some profitability out of this. Profitability being versus the benefit it will bring to our clients and to patients. So you are mentioning some digital solutions, also some data we are providing, some additional services directly to patients, are a few areas where we can bring innovation to the market for benefit of patients. Yes.
And can you charge more, though, for this innovation?
It's not that we are charging more, it's that we offer new services, so we have opportunity to get revenues from these new services.
LG, the cost of healthcare is rising. So even in Malaysia, the estimates is that the gross medical inflation was 15.3% in 2018, 16.1% last year, 2019, and 14% this year. Yes. So there have been calls to regulate the prices of drugs, especially innovative drugs. And some even say maybe the solution is dispensing separation. Mm-hmm. Is this actually better for Zulik or is it actually negative?
This is, I would refrain to comment on that. We are a distributor, so we are servicing the market, public and private customers and our clients. So I would say we are not an active actor into that. I would just say for Malaysia, like in every country, managing a healthcare budget for a good healthcare strategy, this is very difficult. This is really a big job, and it's a big job in every country. So it's all about managing expectations from Malaysian patients and managing that within a budget which is affordable for the country.
And there has been a drive towards, especially from the government perspective, to use perhaps more generics to lower the cost of drugs. Is that negative for you, though?
I wouldn't say it's negative. Generics are good and necessary, and the pharmaceutical industry is supporting that. It's all about the balance between resourcing generics and having enough resource for innovative products coming from the research from the pharmaceutical industry. And again, back to the initial topic of this discussion, COVID vaccination. COVID vaccine have been able to be discovered so fast because pharmaceutical companies were able to invest heavily in order to speed up the research for COVID vaccine. I think the challenge all over the world and in every country, it's to balance the resources between generics and innovation, research, and bringing the best possible healthcare to the whole population, whatever the resources of each patient. And this is the permanent thought again of public and private stakeholders. And private pharmaceutical industry is part of that.
But in the meantime, LG, you know, there are always questions about the relationships that pharmaceutical companies, so be it even distributors like yourself, right, have with healthcare practitioners. Sometimes it can be a little bit too cozy. So how does Zulich ensure the highest standards of integrity?
Okay. There are multiple ways. And here we, like always in our way of working as a service provider to pharmaceutical industry, we are aligning ourselves with the highest standard. And we provide these standards to all the work we are doing in all our countries for all our clients and on all customers and healthcare providers. So we have code of ethics, code of conduct, which are published, which are public, which are aligned with all the regulations, worldwide regulations and local regulations. So we follow the law in Malaysia and we follow the code of conduct of all the pharma associations we are belonging to either locally or internationally.
Now, in the meantime, a not so pleasant sight that we have seen as a result of COVID-19 has been vaccine nationalism. So we have seen some countries attempt to restrict the export of it. Now, you're just a distributor, but how does Zulich navigate through all this?
Again, here we are a service provider to all stakeholders, public and private, in Malaysia and Southeast Asia. So we are not part of this. We are following this. This may regulate and impact the supply we receive and we distribute in our countries, but we are not part of it.
And finally, COVID-19, I think, has taught us how vulnerable global supply chains are. Mm-hmm. So, LG, are you ready for the next crisis?
I believe so, because yes, you are right. There will be a next crisis. There is always a next crisis. But the crisis, even I would say the catastrophe, it's more than a crisis, it was a catastrophe. Which started more than a year ago now, we have been so far going through quite well. Saying this, I'm cautious. I mean, this has been tough for everyone, for countries, companies, for individuals. There have been drama all over the place. So this has been very tough. But when it comes to your question, are we ready as Zulich Pharma, Malaysia, Brunei, Zulich Pharma overall for the next crisis? Yes, because we have been showing we are able to continue the business since the beginning of this crisis. And this is very important because we are distributing finally drugs which would be given to patients who need them all over Malaysia and Brunei. So we have to work 24/7 to deliver hospitals and clinics and pharmacies. And we cannot stop at any point of time. And we have never stopped. So which showed, I don't say it was easy. I don't say we have not learned anything. We have learned things. We have improved. So I would say we are prepared. We have shown we are prepared and we managed to go through and we'll be even better prepared for the next one. You can always improve.
So what is the top lesson you have learned? What is the number one thing that you've taken away from this whole catastrophe?
You need good team and you have to believe in people to go through such a catastrophe.
On that note, thank you for your time today. Joining me on the Breakfast Grill this morning was Louis-Georges Lazenary, CEO of Zulich Pharma for Malaysia and Brunei. I'm Wong Xiaoning, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.